Turi, what you remember anyway about how he came to acquire that property and when.
Boy. See, I'm jarring my memory on years here. That had to be about early 60s, 61 maybe, something like that. Because that mine had been discovered by some guys back in the early 1900s. And they held the claims, but they dropped them in 1927. My dad got to research it and found out it was open ground. And we'd been prospecting all over the country up there. And we went across over to that area then. And they had a portal, a little small portal. I got some pictures.
All right. Cool.
Was the portal in the same location it is now, roughly?
Roughly, but it was different. It was all further off the line. These are all pictures of the vein of my brother Kaiser. There's a glean ore.
Oh, nice.
And this is what they were doing with it, using the backhoe. My brother was a backhoe runner.
Is that an exploration trench there?
Yeah, that's where we actually mined a lot of that right out of there. I mean, made money on that. And these are all where they mine. Here's a good shot of the glean ore there. Shows up pretty nicely. The glean ore shows up. That looks pretty nice. But the best ore of all, it looks like ground-up Hershey bars, just dirt. These are all
real rusty, huh?
So this is Garth's father. This is Turi here.
That's him. Yeah,
Turi F.
Dad, yeah. And
what's your last name?
Anderson? Garth Anderson. He was Turi Anderson. There's another picture of him. I thought I had some of my brother in there. I guess I didn't bring any of those. Anyway, there's what we're doing it up at the time. My dad working down on the, picking at the rock, looking to see what it's got. And these are barrels of ore ready to ship.
Who'd you ship those to?
Originally there was a smelter in Montana that he shipped it to. And then closed that one or something, and then they shipped it to one around Tacoma, someplace around Tacoma. And then they shut that one down. The environmental thing came in about there and shut them, most of them down. And they finally had one left over down in the Bay Area. And there is getting so costly to ship it that far. Everything is not getting, it's just getting a lot of exercise and not much return, you know. But,
so did you notice a change in the public opinion of mining over the years?
Oh yeah. When I was a kid, Fairbanks, it was a mining town. Everybody was in favor of mining. Before the environmental movement got going so strong.
So this picture just shows a 55-gallon drum down in the pit.
Yeah, they're filling that one.
Just filling it by hand, huh?
Yeah, we filled them all by hand.
Just because the gleaner was so easy to pick out, I suppose.
Yeah, right. And it's the easiest way to put it in barrels, too, just by hand. They used to put a smaller pan and dump it in and make sure it was all high-grade stuff.
Were you guys able to make a living?
It paid pretty good when they're working on these stuff here before we went into the... I guess I didn't bring any of the old portal. I had one shot with the old portal, and then I didn't bring that. The old original one that the old-timers had in there. I thought I must have... I goofed up on that, but there was portal. There was all caved in and everything, but a little picture of the original portal they had. And they let the ground go in 27, so it laid open until we staked it in the 40s there. My dad staked it, actually.
In the 40s?
I think so. It was open until, I think in 40, around that time, he staked a whole bunch of around there, which we didn't even, he was just covering the country.
Yeah.
And then we were prospecting it. We did a lot of prospecting there. And my background was always electronics. I got a ham radio license while I was in high school and all that kind of stuff. So I was into electrical things. And I read a little article one time on how these ore veins all, there's electrical current flows around them. So I read up on that stuff a little bit, and I didn't have any money. So I built a little machine to measure that. They had a commercial ones. They used porous pots, and you put copper sulfate in them and read it with a very sensitive voltmeter, DC voltmeter. So I built my own. I didn't have porous pots. Besides, you can break them if you drop them. So I used just plastic jugs, containers, and drilled a tiny hole in the bottom and had a sponge on the bottom. And you have to get those wet with copper sulfate solution. And you leave them run to your voltmeter, and you could round the point. If there's a vein in the ground, I forget which way current flows, but there anyway, there's a current circles around up to the top and back down through it. So if you're coming across up here and you're measuring voltage, you can tell. Your meter will always be pointing one way, so you keep going. All of a sudden, it's pointing the other way. You just passed something.
Huh.
So we go back up, and you could narrow it down. You could be dead center right over whatever it is. So it saved you a lot of digging. Except we still, there was a lot of work just cutting through the moss because you had to be down to soil. You couldn't just do it on the moss.
So did you set it on the ground then where the sponges? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Set them on the ground and the sponges, then take a meter reading. And I had to set up so that it was always pointing whichever way it was pointing toward a vein. And then when you cross it, all of a sudden it's going the other way. So you have to back up, and you could go around you toward, you got a dead center, and you're right on.
Wow.
And quite often you'd have a pretty good reading. When we first did this, my dad had to have zero faith in it. And when I first built this thing, I said, let's go try it. You waste more time, and, anyway. But he pulled one on me there. He knew where there was antimony. Uh-huh. He knew where there was a couple little stringers of antimony. It had never been touched. It had grown over with moss and everything. So he knew I didn't know anything about it. So he said, okay, sir, where do you want to go? And I said, I don't know. Let's take a reading, see which way. And, well, it looked like there might be something over this way. And we kept going on. Right here. And he says, I'll be damned. And then he was a believer. Yeah. That he was still skeptical for quite a while, but he really believed all of it after that. He had a lot of full confidence in it.
Wow.
But, and I've still got that machine. I can't find it. I don't know where. I wouldn't have thrown it away. I never throw anything away. You know, my place, I got a junkyard over there. But
so was that when you, pretty close to when you first started working there? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because I had... it was after I got out of the Navy. I was an electronic tech in the Navy. And then, when I got out, when I built that thing. And I got out in 54 when I started working, building that thing. And I must have spent a year before I was really happy with it. At first, the porous pots, gosh, they're expensive, and they drop them, they break, and so finally one day I thought, well, what if it wouldn't work? Plastic jug shouldn't be interfere with electrical stuff. So picked up a couple of little holes at the bottom, very small, and glued sponges on the bottom of there, and took them out, make sure they didn't generate any kind of a current or anything on their own.
Do you know who had the mine before you guys then?
I don't know the names, no.
And they dropped them back in the 20s, huh?
27 was when their lease expired on it.
Huh.
And it sat there empty up until my dad staked it. Which I think
it was just you and your dad working it?
And my brother.
And your brother.
Yeah.
So now in Fairbanks, mining had slowed down during the war, the Second World War.
Yeah, it was all stopped. Oh, boy.
Cold water.
Step right up to the bar.
I was hoping to get some coffee rounded up, buddy.
No, that's all right. Water's better for me anyway.
What was your question, Yuri?
Oh, I just was curious about the impact on your efforts due to the Second World War. And, of course, that would have been more turbulent.
Well, yeah, all the mining was stopped, and it went to zero during the war. There's no mining of any kind going on then.
So how old were you then when you did that? That was after you got out of the Navy?
Yeah.
Young man?
Yeah. I went in in 54. Yeah, 54.
What did you guys name the mine when you were there?
My dad named it.
Silver Fox?
Yeah, he said it was called Silver Fox. So I think he saw a fox or something up there one day, didn't he? Silver Fox. And he was always conscious of the wildlife and birds and things. And he had a tamed fox up there, and he had a couple birds. And when we had the portal going in, and where he was to dump the ore, he would come out and dump. Well, he'd sit out on that trestle there and eat his lunch every day. And two birds would show up, and he'd feed them, and he'd feed his fox would show up, and he'd feed it. And had those things just as tame as could be.
How were you getting the ore out of the portal?
By hand, pushing it with an ore car.
Yeah.
Pushed on it.
So what kind of equipment did you have when you were inside the mine? Just regular dynamite?
Regular dynamite. Had a compressor. Mm-hmm. And a
jackleg drill?
Yeah, jackleg drill. Yeah. And we just drilled it and shoot it. And I was telling Urine, I was really surprised by the big blast up there. I told him, well, my dad would have had a fit. That big a blast. Because I don't think a blast a half as big as that one. It's about as big as you'd ever hear it there.
Huh.
And I think he probably drilled it the same one and set it in your lifter holes all around it. But he was super conscious of, don't use too much. First of all, dynamite's expensive. Uh-huh. Don't use any more than you need. But I remember getting chewed out real one time because I loaded the face. And my brother was drilling holes, and I loaded them, tamped them, and all that. And we fired it, and he says, how much dynamite you put in there? You know, you didn't use a whole stick, did you? Yeah. So I was in trouble over that. But his reasoning on it worked. Is a big puff like that, then you drop rocks off the ceiling on the whole length of the tunnel sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Just nuisance rocks. But something you had to clean up each time. So he'd use just a minimum of powder in the hole and then shut it off, bang it, you know.
Yeah.
And then you could, we always had to wait till it aired out because you go in too fast, you get an awful headache.
Carbon monoxide.
I had a couple of those. Boy, terrific headache for that stuff. And headache like you never had before.
How often did you blast?
Oh, probably about every third day.
Huh.
Wasn't really going at it there.
And then you brought it out into the daylight and then hand sorted it?
Yeah.
What did you use to load it into the ore cars?
We used the backhoe to load it into, well, we loaded by hand into barrels.
Uh-huh.
And then used the backhoe to pick the barrels up and put them on the back of the old pickup truck.
What about to get it out of the mine? When you were loading the ore cars inside the mine, did you just do it by hand, or did you
all
have
by,
a...
No, that was all by hand.
All by hand.
Yeah.
Somebody at some point was using they call it a widow maker, or scoops in the front and then dumps to the
car
like that. That must have been whoever got the mine after you guys.
Yeah, because we didn't have it when I was around there.
I wrote down a couple of questions in case we need to. Oh, did you guys ever find anything besides Galena? You find any gold and silver in there?
There were traces of gold, but very, very minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never didn't call it a gold mine.
So, did you guys work there full time then, all year round, for a few years? Or?
No. We knocked it off in the winter time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't work it in the winter.
How many years did you work there with your dad?
Oh boy. Well, I got to think about that one. I'm thinking probably 4 or 5 years. I think was about it. And the dad kept. And then he was working by himself. I got married in the meantime and kind of stuff like that. That interfered with the mining business.
Yep.
And let's see, when we did. My memory's not all this great anymore. It was very good. But
so your dad kept on working then after you?
Yeah, he worked a lot.
And your brother?
By himself and with my brother. Yeah, he helped him a lot. And I did occasionally go up and help him, but mostly it was my dad. He either worked alone or Bud used to help him a lot. Bud was a mechanical. He's a good backhoe runner and stuff.
Yeah.
So he'd do all that stuff. And they use that. Like, see, they got the barrels full, and you.
Hey, Alex, we got Alex here. Cool.
Yeah.
So who got the mine after you guys? Did your dad end up selling it, or did he drop the claims?
No, he held it right up until the time that, Frank DeLong was a guy that ran something to do with the refinery and oil business up here, and he got to talk to my dad, and he's the one that kind of stirred the pot to get him to give to the university.
Oh, okay.
And so he promoted enough money to buy all of his equipment that he had. And so he got paid for his equipment, got his money back out of that, but then he just donated the mine, the property, to the university.
When was that then?
I think Turry was, he was friends with Earl Beislein.
Oh, yeah, Earl, in fact, I didn't bring that picture. One picture of a guy down the hole was Earl. He used to stop up once in a while. I didn't bring that one, I guess. No, a picture of my dad, but not Earl.
We got Alex Bertram joining us here, another mining student. These are some pictures of the trenching exploration that they did.
Oh, wow.
This is the Galena. They were mining Galena, and they would pick it out by hand and load it into 55-gallon drums.
That's wild.
And Garth's dad named it the Silver Fox Mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
so I think that would have been in the mid-70s or so when he and Earl
talked
about that. I want to say it was probably the late 70s when that transaction was finalized.
All right.
And then you knew the portal ended up collapsing sometime after that, I think.
They were telling me it did.
I
didn't know.
And then it wasn't until just a couple of years ago that the school started using it pretty often. Unless they used it back then, I don't know.
Sure. Well, now, I think either before or after the mine was donated to the university, or passed on to the university, I think mining students would head up there. And
They did, they did some. My dad used to, he became a teacher, he says. He had an eighth grade education. He says, "Here I'm teaching school." But they bring mining students.
How did your dad end up in Fairbanks?
Looking for work, I think, mainly.
Yeah.
And we were in Wyoming. That's where I was born, is in Wyoming. And he always wanted to go to Alaska. We were in Seattle. We spent about a year in Seattle. He worked, got a job there, worked there. And then he ran into another guy named Turi, who was a Swede. That's a good Swedish name from way back. And he was one of the, what's the last name? Anyway, they were big miners in, up at Alaska. They had probably four or five mining operations going at once. Platinum down at Good News Bay was what made them.
Huh.
And but and Olson, Turi Olson. And so I got talking to him, and he said, you need a job, Alaska? Come on up, you know. Well, let's go. So, and Olson's were mining all over. They had placer mines going all over the place, and they were individuals. I think there was four, I think there were four brothers. I could be wrong on that. I think it was four of the Olson brothers. And they were mining right outside of Fairbanks at Wolf Creek. Hmm. So that's where my dad went. So for summer, we lived in a tent out there. And
was everybody pretty safe the whole time you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody got hurt or anything?
No problem, anything like that. And they had a cook. Was one of the old, one of the sisters of the Olson family, and she cooked there. Boy, she's a marvelous cook. So we everybody always got fed good. We ate separately because we had our own tent we lived in. Well, there's two tents. Me and Bud slept in one, and the folks slept in the kitchen on the other one. Tent frame deals, and he worked there. He worked there several years, and I don't remember how many, but quite a while. And then he went off on his own. To mining. He finally got enough money ahead to do something. And then he started mining. And we mined some bench ground out on, right down the hill where Flume Creek comes in. There was a bench ground there that old Johnny Frasca, who was an old timer prospector up there, he had drift mined part of that.
Yeah.
And he told me that, well, there's still some pay in there. So we started on that one. And we mined that out, that bench ground there. Me and my dad and brother. So.
So there's typically about four people working on the projects that you guys were involved in? Or
just the three of us.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mom was cooking for us. Okay. This is a family. It's always been family operations.
You guys ever get any bears coming around when you're there?
Yeah, no serious problem with them, though. Never did have any real bear encounters. Cause usually you just holler at them, they'd take off. So.
How far into the portal did you guys... Did you guys end up getting?
Oh gosh. I'd say probably what, 300 feet, something like that.
Yeah. And then did the ore get any better or worse as you went in?
It would vary as you go in. You used to be able to see it in the floor pretty good, but of course the little chrome that gets covered up when you wheel rock back and forth over it, but you used to be able to see it a pinch down, and then, you know, it was...
Huh.
And it was still out in the end, and it was pinched down near the end. And my dad then went off to one side, and Bud and I were left about that time. I think I went in the Navy, the military grabbed us for the Korean War or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he went off to the side of the tunnel, and he started going down. But when I saw it, it was only, he's just getting started. He's only done about 3-4 feet deep. So,
yeah, that's still there. That's the sump now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be a sump. But his goal there was, it was narrowing down in the vein of pier. It was getting pretty narrow. So he thought, well, I could keep going and see if it widens out, which it may, because it had pinched, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he decided, well, he was going to go down and then see what he had for depth.
Yeah.
And see if he could block out a section there.
Hmm. So there's probably still galena underneath the main trail, the main portal then.
Oh, yeah. Going all the way in, there should be galena there.
Yeah.
And on that one, that is not where the old-timers' original portal was. As we ran across with my self-potential rig, we got... where I could find a vein, and we found a much higher reading, which doesn't mean that much, but you got a reading, it's something there. And so we opened it up there and to see, and it was much wider. there. So that's where we started in, was following that one. And we ignored the one that the old timers were in there ahead of us.
Where's their portal compared to the years?
Boy, there's no sign of that anymore because that all got dozed out of there.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it was, well, if you stand facing your portal now, it would have been to the right.
Yeah.
A little bit. Huh. Which is also where most of this mining was taking place, was down there, and then we moved back over. And then when the military interrupted our lives, like me and my brother, he and my mother tried mining little places around the country and up in the Circle for a while, and then he ended up back down here, and he ran it as a tourist business there for a couple of years.
Oh, look at that. Underground adventure in a mine.
That's your copy of one of his.
That's the same air compressor tank they're using now.
Yeah. But he said he found out that mining tourists was a lot easier than mining the ore. They were paying, he charged them $5, and they had some little ore cars set up with nice, comfortable seats and everything on them. And I think they paid $5. And they'd take them back in there and give each one a hunk of galena, little pieces of galena. And they were all happy as heck and left. So.
Cool.
He did that for a while. So
that is wild.
So he must have put in the narrow gauge track.
Oh yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, we had that in there.
Oh, and then you pushed it by hand. You pushed the ore carts out. On
yeah,
the track.
Yeah, we pushed them out.
So you probably put that in, huh?
Yeah. You know, I'm part of that. As far as we were there, as far as we had gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and my dad and my brother.
Huh. Well, that's all the questions that I had, but
yeah,
sure could sit and listen more if you thought of anything else to add.
Over the ridge from that, down, other than if you're, as you're driving in, if off to your right down that valley.
Yeah.
He had a mill set up down in there at one time. A little mill.
Huh.
A crusher. And
what happened to that? I don't think it's there anymore. He must have sold it, huh?
Yeah, he sold that to somebody, and I don't know. He told me it was around Fox there a few years. But I don't know what became of it after that.
Do you know what kind of businesses were buying the ore from you? Or were you selling to wholesale out of state?
You sold them to the smelter.
Okay. Was there one in Fairbanks? Or
No. We sent them to the states.
Okay.
Originally, the first one, I think, was Montana. And then they moved. That one closed. And moved, and there was one at Tacoma. They sent some there. And then that one closed. And then there was one down in California. And that each one was further away, and the freight became higher. Yeah. And that's when he gave it up.
There's the Jack League drill. So, do you miss it working there?
Not really.
I guess you would have done it longer than 4 years if you missed it.
Huh? Yeah, right, yeah. Well, I didn't have much choice. Uncle Sam wanted me, so. I got in trouble over that one, too.
You did?
I can't remember the lady's name that was head of the draft board here. She was a bit old timer. She's probably gone by now, but I can't think of her name, but I knew her well. She knew me, and I got my notice to report to the Army. I thought, wow, I don't want to do this. Me and Billy Berry, he's gone now. He passed away. He used to have Bill's service station in town here. we get to talk. So we go out and we hop on an airplane, go to the States, down to Seattle, and we join the Navy. And so, okay, we could be. We'd rather be in the Navy, so we're doing our thing. And then one day on board ship, off the coast of Korea over there, and I get a letter. And it sounded like they were going to hang me or something from the draft board from this woman. And so I take it down to the ship's legal officer, a lieutenant down there, and I says, here's this letter, what'll I do? He read it and he says, what'll you do? He says, what did you do? You know? He said, well, I got my notice to report, so I joined the Navy. Oh, did you tell the draft board? No. Well, that's where you made a big mistake, son, he says. But he says, I'll write a letter to him, tell him we got you, and there'll be a fight between the Army and the Navy to see who gets you. So, okay. Well, then I came home on leave one time, and I'm walking down Cushman Street right in front of the old Federal Building, down 2nd and Cushman, and the woman that had the draft board was on the other side of the street, and she saw me and recognized me right away, and she said, Garth Ennis, you come here! So, okay, I'm in uniform even, maybe. So I go across, what were you doing? And she told me, she says, then she told me the whole story. She said, the bad part, said, all you had to do was tell me, call me a telephone, tell me what you're doing, and it'd been fine. But no, I said, well, I was running scared. didn't want to be in the Army. So anyway, she says, so what happened then is they had a quota to fill, so some other poor guy, she says, we would have gotten credit for you joining the Navy. That would have counted. But we didn't know what happened to you, so some other poor jerk got drafted into the military. not one of my better, smarter moves.
It's amazing how this operation would look nearly exactly the same nowadays, huh?
The scenery and everything?
Well, the scenery, equipment.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. Yeah, it hasn't changed too much.
Well, we can shut this thing off if you want and just chit-chat a little bit.
Yeah.